Good morning, and thank you everyone for being here early this morning. It was an early morning for me, late night last night. I had an Iowa Soybean Association meeting that kept me out late, and then headed off on the road this morning about a little after 4:30. So long hours out on the road, but you know I'm enjoying it so much. It's good to get out and meet so many wonderful Iowans and be to so many parts of the state, which is not new to me. As Daryl had said, I am a member of the Iowa Army National Guard. And right now, I am a battalion commander of the 185th Combat Sustainment Support Battalion. And we have seven companies in this battalion. Right now it is the largest battalion in the state of Iowa. Those companies are all over the state, from Sheldon and Sioux City all the way over to Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, from Centerville and Oskaloosa on up to Mason City. So outside of my time in the state senate or my time as a county auditor, I do spend a lot of time on the road out visiting with my soldiers out and about the state. But what I'd like to do today with the time that we have, I'd like to talk a little bit about who I am, just so you know. I know we've met through many activities at the state senate, but I'll talk about who I am and then exactly why I'm running for U.S. Senate. So to start, way back when, I am an Iowan. I was raised in Iowa. I was raised on a farm north of Stanton, Iowa, which is just south of Highway 34 in Montgomery County. Grew up there on that farm and went off to Iowa State University after I graduated from school. But the farm I grew up on, it's not like the mega farms that we have nowadays. If you remember back in the 70s or so, much smaller farms, family farms. So I grew up on a small family farm, literally at the end of the gravel road. Where my home was, it was the end of the gravel right onto the dirt road. So I grew up in that environment. We had soybeans, we grew corn, we had hogs, and I did comment to the Des Moines Register, which I thought was funny and actually didn't think would be printed, lesson learned here, but grew up, we castrated hogs. I mean, I thought that was funny. I was the only candidate in the race that's probably ever castrated hogs. But it was all those family activities, and that's how I grew up as part of that family, being expected to work on that farm. And all of us kids pitched in. I had an older sister and a younger brother. We were expected to do that. So that's how I grew up. My father, in the squeeze of the 80s with the farm crisis, we left the hog business, and he thought, I need to find another way to help support my family. Didn't give in. He was a fighter. So he purchased his first bulldozer when I was probably 12, 13, and he started a construction business, and it just grew from there. And again, us kids were expected to help out. So I may be small, but heavy equipment is mighty. And so when helping my dad, I'd run compaction equipment. I'd run the sheep's foot. So when I went off to Iowa State University, brief story, I participated in an agricultural exchange which went to the Ukraine. At that time, it was part of the Soviet Union. That was 1989. So on that exchange, we went, lived on a collective farm, worked on that farm, and no electricity in the family's home that I stayed in, no running water, no refrigerator, no car. They had one bicycle that was shared amongst the family. Okay, this is a world's superpower, the Soviet Union, the United States and the Soviet Union, two of the world's greatest powers. And I came home from that exchange after living on that collective farm for about 2.5 weeks. And I decided this is the greatest country in the world, but what can I do to give back? What can be my role in giving back? And that's when I decided to join Army ROTC. So after I completed my studies at Iowa State University, then I was commissioned as a second lieutenant in the Army Reserve, and I went into the Engineer Corps because I was familiar with that heavy equipment and spent many years as a platoon leader doing road construction and road maintenance. So enjoyed that time. My husband was on active duty for 28 years, and when he retired, we moved back to Iowa. He's a Sioux City boy. We knew we needed to come home. We had our daughter while we were stationed in Florida. Great, beautiful, white, sandy beaches, lovely lifestyle, but it's nothing like Iowa. Iowa is home for us. We knew it was the best place to raise our daughter, Libby. And so we came back with Libby, and she is now starting her freshman year of school. So we are glad to be back in Iowa. We've been back now since the summer of 2001. Summer of 2001, great, we were getting settled in. I transferred from the reserves into the Iowa Army National Guard, and then we know what happened on September 11th. That changed our lives forever, not only for me and my family, but also for every American out there. So soon after that, we were gearing up for a deployment. Most of the Iowa Army National Guard was gearing up for deployment at that time. I was a company commander with the 1168th Transportation Company out of Red Oak, Perry, and Audubon. And we were selected for that first rotation out to support Iraq. So we were sent to Kuwait, and we actually stayed in Kuwait the entire time. That's where we lived anyway. We ran transportation missions all throughout Kuwait and southern Iraq, and we also provided security for Camp Arif John, which is in Kuwait. So many different duties, served with many, many wonderful men and women of the Iowa Army National Guard, and there were many of us over there at the time. So anyway, got back from that deployment and then decided to run for Montgomery County Auditor. There had been a lack of leadership in the courthouse in Montgomery County at that particular time, and there was just a huge outcry for change. People needed change. They needed leadership, and it's not so different from what we're seeing now. We need leadership, and we don't see it. So I took up that challenge. I ran for county auditor. It was against an incumbent Republican, a Republican who at the end of the budget year would go office to office and say, it's nearing the end of the budget year. You need to spend whatever's in your budget. You need to spend that because you won't get it next year. That's what we were facing in the county, and that's not right. That's not the way we should be handling our budgets. So very important as a fiscal conservative, that was something that we needed to overcome. So I ran one handily in that election, served a full term, started my second term, was reelected that second time, and then, of course, with the lieutenant governor's selection, Kim Reynolds was my state senator. When she moved on, then I thought this is a great opportunity to serve more people of Iowa and take that leadership to the state senate. So I've been at the state senate now for 3 years, just completed my third year, and Representative Hagenow was absolutely correct. We had a wonderful year this past year, and I attribute that to people working so well together. The Republicans in the House did a phenomenal job. They really set a very strong agenda that we could easily get on board in the state senate. We are a minority in the state senate, 24-26. Very difficult to work in that environment. But you know what, when we come together as Republicans and stand strong, there are things that we can accomplish. And this last year was a great example of that. So do want to thank the House Republicans, John. Thank you to standing strong and helping us out over in the Senate. We appreciated that. So that's a little overview of who I am and how I came to be here at the state Senate. But a lot of people ask me, Joni, why are you doing this to yourself? Why are you doing this to yourself? And I've alluded to some of this already in that I do feel there is a lack of leadership. I look at the things that I hold dear to me and those values that I grew up with, and I feel like this administration is failing us with the policies that they put in place. And that's why I'm running for U.S. Senate. As a mother, I do have three daughters. I have two that are grown and out on their own, and I have Libby who's still living at home. As a mother, I want to make sure that my daughters and hopefully your children, your grandchildren, are inheriting that same great nation that we had inherited. That's very important to me. And I feel like the president's policies and those that are being pushed by Congressman Braley and all of his cronies, they are threatening that. So I look at the policies such as Obamacare, high taxes, cap and trade, and these are horrible, horrible for our working class families. They're stifling our small businesses, and they're constricting opportunities out there. We need to take a good hard look at what we are doing as a government, and we need to come out on the side of economic enterprise, free market enterprise. Let's make sure we're creating opportunities, not getting rid of those opportunities. So very important. A little story that I share back in my own community. In the early spring of 2009, we had a really, really hard time. This was the first little wave of the economic downturn. And a good friend of mine, Sandy, she came in. Her husband, Ted, worked in my office. Sandy came in and on a Monday, and she had lost her job. She and 100 other workers for a window manufacturing plant in Red Oak. And you have to remember, Red Oak is a small community. 100 jobs is a lot of jobs. She came in. She had lost her position. Wednesday of that same week, my husband, Gail, came into the office at noon over his lunch break. He had lost his job. He and 82 of his fellow workers were laid off from another manufacturing plant in town. That was 183 jobs in that 1 week. That was just 1 week in 2009. The rest of the year, we lost other manufacturing plants. We had restaurants that closed, and even the local theater. We have one theater with one screen, and it closed. It was a very hard time for Montgomery County. We had the second highest unemployment rate in the state. Very difficult for us. But it took local investors and local ingenuity to start up new industry in town. It wasn't the federal government that came in and helped our community. It was those local citizens banding together, and that was local success. That's what we needed, was for government to get out of the way and have local success. And then beyond that, in the state Senate, we've had a lot of success this last year with creating an environment that is great for Iowa businesses. Not only are we starting to expand Iowa businesses, but we're attracting new types of industries such as Google and Facebook. Those are Iowa successes. But in spite of our local successes and our Iowa successes, the federal government continues to fail us. And we see that every day. There is something new about Obamacare and why it can't be implemented, why this phase should wait. I think we just probably need to get rid of it. So very important. So that's why, as a mother, I want to ensure that we have opportunities for our children. And this is how we're going to do it. Make sure that government is getting out of the way. Now, as a soldier, I have an interesting perspective because I have served overseas. I've been in the military now for 22 years. So as a soldier, as a battalion commander in the Iowa Army National Guard, I understand the significance of a strong national defense. And as we pursue that strong national defense, we need to ensure that we are also taking care of our servicemen and women and their families when they return from overseas. Very important, because our servicemen and women have fought very hard for us, so we as legislators need to fight very hard for them. My husband, I had said earlier, served 28 years. He spent 28 years on active duty Army service as an infantryman, as a ranger instructor, and as an Army ranger. And I really could not be prouder of him. He had a phenomenal career. Shortly after his retirement then is when I deployed to the Middle East, and I led 149 of the Iowa Army National Guard's finest soldiers, and they were phenomenal soldiers. After our return from the Middle East, then many of those soldiers deployed for their second and their third times voluntarily because they believed it was the right thing to do. And in these years, my nephew Andy, my son-in-law John, and my cousin Ian have also deployed to the Middle East. So this is something that is very important to me. So again, as a leader in the Iowa Army National Guard, I do understand that we need to take care of our servicemen and women. We need to have that strong national defense. And those lengthy and difficult missions are very hard on those servicemen and women and their families. And so as I look at those experiences, I will always take those into account when I'm making any decisions on related national policy. I think that's very important. So that's also why I'm running for U.S. Senate. I believe in our servicemen and women, and I believe in our national security. But lastly, why I'm running for U.S. Senate is because as a conservative, with my conservative values, I do cherish innocent life. I do believe that life begins at conception. And I also believe in traditional marriage, which is marriage between one man and one woman. I'm also a strong supporter of the Second Amendment, and I hope that you will join us on Saturday at the Second Amendment rally down at the Big Springs complex with Brownells. But the Second Amendment is very important to me. I am a lifetime member of the NRA, and I have an A rating from the NRA. I do have a concealed carry permit, and I actually do carry. I know a lot of people have concealed carry permits, but they don't necessarily carry. I do carry, and I am Army qualified on the 9mm and M16. So the Second Amendment is not just words on a piece of paper. We have the right to keep and bear arms, period. And it is something that I am willing to defend when I go to Washington, D.C. So thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. So yes, these are things that I am very passionate about. I'm passionate about our economy and opportunities for our children and the next generations. I'm passionate about our military. I'm passionate about our rights, such as the Second Amendment, and I'm passionate about life and marriage. So those are things that I do want to defend. I want to carry my Iowa values to Washington, D.C. And these are not just words for me. It is not just talk. I have spent 20 years serving in the armed forces and serving my communities through other public service because I believe in these values. It's very, very important to me, and I think we need to get back on track. I don't want to see a Congressman Bruce Braley as a Senator Bruce Braley. Very bad for Iowans. So please, I am asking today for your support. I would appreciate your vote in the June 2014 primary. I would appreciate any grassroots support that I can gain from you. And again, my name is Joni Ernst, and I am running for U.S. Senate. And I thank you so much for taking the time to be with me this morning. And I would also like to go ahead and accept questions, too, if you would. Thank you very much. Yes, David. Yes.
We're at 40% deficit, basically. Mm-hmm. 40 cents of the dollar was borrowed for to get us there to pay for what we're doing today. As a U.S. senator, what would you champion as a program or policy to completely eliminate? Haircuts aren't going to get us there.
So right. No, they won't.
What are we going to eliminate to get us down that 40% overage down to even Stephen with taxes to spending?
Right. And I would champion a balanced budget amendment, but that's not enough. That's just going to balance the budget. So we do have to make pretty severe cuts. I don't believe in an education department at the federal level. I think that is something that we could eliminate and that would save. We have to take a good hard look at entitlement programs. We've seen over the past number of years where entitlements have grown, and SNAP is a great example of that, food stamps. We are encouraging people to get onto those programs. But as we look at various departments, such as the Department of Education and our entitlement programs, it is going to be very difficult. Unless we gain a majority in the Senate and we keep a majority in the House and we can get a Republican in the White House, I don't see that we're going to get far. It's going to be the haircuts. It's going to be the haircuts. But what we have to do a better job of is educating the not only Iowans, but the American people that they can be self-sufficient. They don't have to rely on the government to be the do-all, end-all for everything they need and desire. And that's what we have fostered, is really a generation of people that rely on the government to provide absolutely everything for them. It's going to take a lot of education to get people out of that. It's going to be very painful, and we know that. So do we have the intestinal fortitude to do that? And I would like to say that we do. I do think we need to cut back. I talk about opportunities for my daughter, and I am not as hopeful. How many of you here think that your children are going to be better off than you are? Okay, that's surprising. Every once in a while, I do get some hands, but that's sad. That is very sad. So what we need to do is communicate that to everybody. I have the intestinal fortitude to go in and take a good hard look at our budget. But we need others of like minds that can do that, because we do have departments that can be cut. There's no doubt about that. There are entitlement programs that could be reduced. But who wants to do that? And we're looking at Obamacare right now. Once we start with those benefits in January, how are we going to get people off of those? It's exponentially harder to remove people once they've already been on those programs, once they get started, rather than not start them at all. So, and I'm sorry, it's not an easy answer. But we know that we have to have a balanced budget, and we have to make those hard cuts. And do we have people that are willing to make those hard cuts? One thing that I have thought, even in my years here at the State Senate, is that we rely on government for absolutely everything. And in the years since I was a small girl up until now into my adulthood with children of my own, we have lost a reliance on not only our own families, but so much of what our churches and private organizations used to do. They used to have wonderful food pantries. They used to provide clothing for those that really needed it. But we have gotten away from that. Now we're at a point where the government will just give away anything. We have to stop that, pull back in a little bit, look at those that truly do need and those that don't need and maybe could rely on their own skills. So we do have a long ways to go in that area. Difficult question, but thank you. Thank you. Yes?
Could you elaborate on the impact you want to have on health care laws, U.S. Senator? My premium contribution doubled over the last year. Doubled. I don't anticipate that getting better for the new year. How can your single voice have an impact on those challenges?
Well, a single voice is where you can start, but you have to have multiple voices. So right now, I know you've probably followed the discussion of, do we defund Obamacare or do we wait and try and repeal Obamacare? And so I follow that, and I've seen how positions are changing. They've changed a lot in the recent days. So with Obamacare, and yes, you're going to see your premiums increase. And I know I have some small business owner friends in Red Oak that have seen that now over the past year, and it's very difficult because they're a very small mom and pop shop. Okay, very tough for them. But the argument is, do we defund Obamacare and risk a government shutdown? That's some of the discussion. The last time that we really had a government shutdown, I believe, was 1995. And so my thought was, do we want to put ourselves in a position of shutting down the government? How does this impact the military? How does it impact other aspects of things that we have to have continuous operation? So I've looked into that a little bit. It won't shut down the military, per se. It will shut down some of these offices that could probably be shut down for a very long time. But do we really think a resolution without Obamacare funding is going to pass? Is it even going to get through the Senate? It probably would not get through the Senate. So the risk the Republicans are putting themselves in, and I believe they do have to stand up for what they believe in, which would be defunding Obamacare. But if they're going to do that, they have to make sure that Republicans are going to stick together in the Senate also. Have to have enough votes in the House, and then you have to make sure the Republicans are going to stick together in the Senate. If they can't achieve that, then the risk to all Republicans becomes a pretty big deal, because Republicans were blamed in 1995 for the government shutdown. So yes, we want to stand up for what we believe in. But will that ultimate goal of defunding Obamacare, will it actually come to fruition? And we have to weigh the pros and cons with that and make sure that we are doing the right thing, we're speaking with a consolidated voice, and moving forward with it. Make a decision and move forward with it. The next step, obviously, is to repeal Obamacare. We are not going to repeal Obamacare if we don't have the House, the Senate, and the White House. It's simply not going to happen. So again, Republicans have to consolidate and speak with one voice on this issue. And it's going to be very difficult. We have to have our own plan in place before we can move forward. It's not going to be repealed unless we have a solution. So, very tough. One voice can start something, but you need many voices to finish it. Yes, David.
Joy, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
I ask you two questions?
Yes, two is fine.
Well, I want to build off of David's.
Okay.
Many of us here think and care a lot about national security.
Yes.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
You've also talked a lot about federal spending.
Right.
And I'm particularly curious, given your perspective, how you would look at that large block of spending that goes to national mm-hmm. security. Would we spend more? Would we spend the same level and offer some discipline? Or where would you cut? Or would you cut a lot? And I'd like you to tee that one up, and then I'd give you the second one now or later.
Absolutely. Let me take that one right now. As we look at national security, I do believe in that strong national defense. But as a member of the service, I also recognize that there are areas that can be cut back. So, yes, we could cut in some areas of the military. One great example that you see right now is with the F-16s. Iowa is losing the F-16s, and that's very sad. I know Governor Branstad had fought to keep them in Iowa, as well as Major General Orr. What was so disappointing about that was that it is much more expensive to keep those F-16s on active duty rather than in the guard component. We're a much less expensive force than full-time active Air Force. But those are areas that need to be weighed very carefully. We don't want to degrade our national security as we look at areas to cut. But there are some areas that could be cut within our defense, yes.
Daryl's getting
yes.
So a short question.
Should I
okay.
ask the late, and that's the last one.
Okay, right. Very good. Thank you.
The U.S. Senate has a long history. But when you look at all of the men and women who mm-hmm. have served, who do you revere? Who inspires you? Whom would you like to emulate?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. And to be honest, I've been asked that a number of times. And I look at a lot of candidates now and senators that are really out in the forefront just in recent history, where you have the Rubios, you have the Rand Pauls. And somebody that I like, though, is Senator Deb Fischer from Nebraska, simply because we have some very common thought processes. But when I look at who I want to emulate and who I most would represent, I don't have anyone in common. I think somebody has to be inspirational. You have to be inspirational to lead. If you're inspirational, people will follow you. But you have to have the values necessary to, when as a leader, you need to have those values that you can follow through on. So when people ask me that, I say, well, you know, I'm not really a Marco Rubio. I'm not really a Rand Paul. I'm not really a Deb Fischer. I'm a Joni Ernst. So, you know, I hope that when I'm in the U.S. Senate, maybe somebody will look at me and say, hey, I want to be like Joni Ernst. But so I don't really fall into any one category. I'd like to think that I just represent Iowans. So thank you, but good question.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. Nice to be here.